to Echo Zoe Radio. I'm your host, Andy Olson, proprietor of EchoZoe.com. Thanks for joining me for this, Episode 6, for October 2008. In this episode, we're going to discuss Theophostic Prayer Ministry. We're joined once again by Sam Madrid, who was here last month to talk about Scientology, as well as Rick Galarno, mutual friend and local expert on the subject. Welcome back, Sam. Glad to have you.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be back.
We wanted to start off with a little bit of follow-up from last month's episode when we talked about Scientology. Why don't we just jump right in?
Great. An interesting development, probably the Tuesday after we did the last recording session here, got an advertisement in the mail from ASI, which is the publishing branch of Scientology. They publish all the books, and they're promoting L. Ron Hubbard's fiction. He's a famous fiction writer before Dianetics, so he has a number of books out there. So now they're promoting those, plus any additional science fiction that's been written since. The advertisement that I got, and the inside cover, I have to read this to you, because it'll start to answer some questions about what this really Scientology is, and even Theophostic. This is a quote from L. Ron Hubbard. In writing an adventure story, a writer has to know what he is adventuring, for a lot of people who cannot. The writer has to take them here and there about the globe and show them excitement and love and realism. As long as that writer is living the part of an adventurer, when he is hammering the keys, he is succeeding with the story. Adventuring is a state of mind. If you adventure through life, you have a good chance to be a success on paper. Adventuring doesn't mean globetrotting, exactly, and it doesn't mean great deeds. Adventuring is like art. You have to live it to make it real. Mm. I think that common sense will tell you just from listening to this that it's all a big adventure, and he is leading you into an adventure of the mind. So anything that, as I look back on it now, with this development here in my own experience, in my life, it's all been an adventure for me, and it's still an adventure for everybody that's experiencing that. Now, Ed Smith, on the other hand, as we start to speak about Theophostics, Ed Smith, the originator of Theophostic Prayer Ministry, I heard him say on a live session on the internet that anybody can look up and see. He says a lot of people would criticize this as imagination. In other words, what the girl was going through. And he says, well, thank God for imagination. So here's two people talking about imagination. I would call it imagineering, where they can write down and make you imagine whatever you can imagine. And it's still imagination, no matter what you, there's no reality in it, in my mind.
That almost goes back to, kind of, we talked a little bit last time about the postmodernism and how Scientology has some aspects that just reek of postmodernism, and that's definitely one of them.
That's correct. Yes.
Anything else you want to?
No, I think that development that pretty much closes the chapter for me on Scientology. It really does. And then now I'm on to trying to help people understand Theophostic Prayer Ministry based on my experiences with the techniques of the sessions and the processes, mm-hmm. Not so much the supposed theology behind it, but the techniques. And I think people will understand why I think it's extremely harmful.
Sure. Well, thanks. And I had opened it up for questions, but if you heard last month's episode, I opened it up for questions, but then I gave out an email address that wasn't working. So whether people tried or not, I don't have any for you. Either of you. And so with that, thanks for bringing that in. I'd like to introduce our other guest, Rick Galarno. Thanks for coming in.
Hello. Blessing to be here.
So this month we're talking about Theophostic Prayer Ministry. Why don't we start off with just a simple introduction and a simple explanation of what is Theophostic Prayer Ministry? How does it work? Where do you find it?
Yes, Theophostic Prayer Ministry was created by a Dr. Ed Smith. He was a pastor at a church, and he was becoming frustrated because he was not seeing many of his individuals in his congregation turn from various sin conditions. So he prayed to God to reveal to him a system by which he could walk his people through to correct them of these behaviors, and it became successful, and so he started writing books on it and training other individuals in it. And the basic principle of the theory is that we are all in emotional pain. 100 out of every 100 people on this planet is in emotional pain, and they need to be they need to go through theophostic prayer ministry in order to release themselves of this pain and the lie-based thinking that goes along. The lie-based thinking is a term that's coined kind of in this theophostic prayer ministry, that they need to be loosed of all of this stuff. And this is not some little thing that's only going on in remote areas of the world. It's crept into many, many churches. And here in the Twin Cities metropolitan area, Grace Church of Eden Prairie, which is a very large church, and also New Hope Church, which used to be called Crystal Evangelical Free Church, actually hosted a session with Dr. Ed Smith, a conference where he was training and welcoming others to join in to the counseling ministry.
Okay, well, thank you.
You're welcome. And now I have created the top 10 reasons theophostic prayer ministry is not Christian. And this, along with an in-depth analysis of each point, is going to be posted at so4j.com. That's S as in Sam, my good partner sitting across from me now. O, the number 4j.com. And my first bullet point is that theophostic prayer ministry was not revealed to its founder, Dr. Ed Smith, in a ordained way that God is now communicating with his elect. The way that God is currently communicating with his elect is through specific revelation and a general revelation, that being either the Bible or through his creation. In times of old, God did communicate, as Hebrews says, through our fathers, meaning the Jewish fathers, in diverse ways, meaning many different ways, through our fathers, the prophets. And he's also communicated using the Ummin and the Thummim. And throughout various times in history, God has communicated with people in various ways, burning bush. But since Jesus ascended and sent our helper, the Holy Spirit, down on Pentecost, the ordained means of communicating with God is through general and specific revelation. So by Dr. Ed Smith praying to God and then hearing from God this whole way to remediate our pain and lie-based thinking, this is a non-ordained means of communicating with our Creator.
And one of the reasons why we are skeptical and maybe have a problem with that method of being shown this theophostic prayer ministry, this method of counseling, is that how do you know it's God? Ed Smith has no way to be certain it was God and not a lying spirit. And you and I especially have no way of knowing.
That's exactly right. And there's other forces. You know, the Bible tells us that there's that 1/3 of the angels are fallen, and I believe that there's people in this world who have demons communicating with them. So we never know if it's the Father communicating with them or not. A lot of people will say, well, you compare it to Scripture, and if it lines up with Scripture, then that is God actually speaking to you. But if God's already revealed to you in the Scripture, maybe instead of waiting to hear from God, you should be reading your Bible.
Well said.
My next bullet point is that man's greatest problem on this earth is not lie-based thinking. Man's greatest problem is that they've sinned against a holy God, and the Bible says that there is none who does good, no, not one. And it also says that the wage of sin is death. And it also says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So unless we have repented and turn from our sins and put our trust in Jesus, we are all on the broad road which leads to destruction. And I will allow my good friend Sam here to flesh out for us, if he would, what lie-based thinking is and why it's not the same thing as sin, which is our greatest problem.
Okay, thank you. Let me go back a little bit and sort of qualify myself as to why I can speak of theophostic prayer ministry. And the way that I do, as you may have heard before in the first session, I was a certified Dianetics auditor. Well, first time I heard about theophostic ministry was in a Bible study, and Pastor Bob, our pastor, mentioned that there was this process going on in this church. He mentioned the church by name. What's the name of that church? Free Evangelical Free Church?
Crystal
Free. And he was telling what the process was, or he's describing a situation where people had lie-based thinking, and then they would go into a session, and then they would go back and find that lie-based thinking, find the lie, erase it, and then heal that person of that particular memory. And I thought, oh no, another offshoot of Scientology, because Scientology does have offshoots. One of them is WISE. I'll bring that later if I remember what WISE stands for. It's a program for businessmen. It's a very successful program, but it's Scientology based. In other words, you start with WISE and you fall into the Scientology trap, as we discussed in the last session. Another one was Fountain Spring, something to that effect. And it is also teaching you about training you how to have a better relationship with your wife, with your family, and so on. Very, very good. Hook you. Hook, line, and sinker, but it's all Scientology, because eventually you're going to fall into all the courses, like I mentioned before in the session on Scientology. So I said, that's theophostic. So I got interested in learning about it, borrowed some manuals that Pastor Bob has. One of them is Beyond Tolerable Recovery, one of the basic manuals for learning how to do a session, how to clear lie-based thinking, or how to heal those memories. And the other one is, the very basic manual called Healing Life's Deepest Hurts. I read it, and I was appalled at how similar, how almost identical it is to Scientology in the techniques. They've changed all the names to make it fit their own program. As an example, an engram, I know it as an engram. Ed Smith knows it as lie-based thinking. Mm-hmm. A re-stimulation, or something that happens today that is as actually a re-stimulation of a pain from the past, is called an echo in theophostic prayer ministry. And I looked, and everywhere I turned, every page I turned, it was identical in technology, in the process to Dianetics auditing. So I recognized that, and then I see it for how harmful it is. Both of them are not leading you to salvation. Obviously, Scientology has nothing to do with your salvation and your repenting and coming to Jesus Christ. Accepting the gospel and believing it has nothing to do with that.
Right.
And even though TPM, or Theophostic Prayer Ministry, is done under the guise of Christianity, it has nothing to do with repentance and believing the gospel as we read it and learn it in the scriptures. It has nothing to do with that. They never talk about salvation. You can be a facilitator. That's another one of those names. A facilitator in Theophostic Prayer Ministry is an auditor in Scientology. Parallel all the way down the road. So you can be a non-Christian facilitator, and you don't have to be a Christian to receive Theophostic Prayer Ministry. But at all times, Jesus Christ is showing up to clear up those lies that you believe from your lie-based memory. Clear up those engrams. I'll call it an engram, but to clear that up. So it's extremely harmful from that respect. I'll go to one of the most disturbing things I've seen recently on the Theophostic website. There's videos of an actual session. Young lady, I think her name is Claudia, and she is being processed by Ed Smith. The incident was that she had her one of her little boys, she had three children, little boys, got caught up in the window blind cords, and he was hanging, blue, eyes glazed, 10 inches from death. She shows up and she sees him, and she's in grief about this. Now, he survived, but 2 or 3 days later, 4 days later, I believe, she goes to this presentation that Ed Smith does, and she raises her hand as one somebody wanted to volunteer to be processed on stage. So he picks her. And I, being a trained auditor, know what to look for when somebody's being audited or processed. And it's very subtle. The things that they say or do are very subtle. So here she is talking about the pain and what she saw. And then Ed Smith tells her, Jesus, Holy Spirit, talk to her. She's telling Ed Smith what the Holy Spirit is telling her. Jesus said, it wasn't my time to take him. It's okay. Don't worry. It wasn't my time to thank me. He's holding him up. In her mind, as she's seeing this picture, he's holding her up. Just, that's okay. Come, I'll protect you till your mommy comes. And here she shows up and takes him out of there. This was the picture after the fact. And this is that all that imagination that I introduced first when I read that quote from L. Ron Hubbard. Mm-hmm. And then it says, imagination, thank God for imagination.
I had a thought when you were relaying this story that kind of scares me a little bit, is that the Bible teaches that there's one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. But it kind of sounds like you're saying that in a theophostic prayer session, the counselor is being a mediator between the patient, the whatever they call it, the and Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. Is that the case?
It looks that way. It's not so much a mediator. It's a facilitator. The facilitator prepares the patient so that then God can come in and do his work. So he invites God in to do the work, because in the eyes of the facilitator, she's ready to, she now she's looking at the lie, now she's ready for God to come speak the truth to her. So that preparation has to be done. Then he invites God. Somebody said this morning, I believe, I don't remember who it was this morning, I was mentioning that particular scenario to them, and he said, how can a sinful person, as we all are, conjure up God? How can we direct God what to do?
Right.
So there, it's not so much...
Well, it implies then that God can't do his work until that facilitator...
Correct. Exactly. I think as I share what I have to share, people are going to pick up just as you picked up, and that's what I hope that people do. They pick up what these incidents are doing.
Sure.
Another one of the subtleties that I picked up on, I was watching this intently. It's on the website. I was watching this intently, looking for what's called VGIs, or very good indicators. In other words, she found the truth herself about that incident. There was never a VGI, never. One of the disturbing things that I saw was that, again, I'm looking for the subtleties in her reaction, and she starts to say, it wasn't G. What does that imply to you? What does that imply to you, Rick?
Jesus.
It wasn't Jesus.
Right.
So she was going to tell the truth, but because she was in that scenario, in that scene, she wasn't going to tell him that it wasn't Jesus. She was going to agree with everybody that this is Jesus talking to me. Okay, that scared me. That really
scared me. Is
peer
pressure going on?
For her, pardon me?
Peer pressure going on there?
Probably.
You're up on stage?
Yes, it would have to be. It would have to be peer pressure. There's another term for it. There's other terms for it, for that kind of pressure. It's just like the Benihin Ministries. You're in this rally, right, and all of a sudden you're engulfed in it. So she's engulfed in this whole scenario of Jesus talk to her. She's in pain, and you can throw her, anybody in pain, not just her, anybody in pain. You can throw them a life raft, and they'll go for it. Smith throws them this life raft called Jesus Christ, and they grab for it. But is it Jesus Christ? He claims that there's demons. He says for years he's had demons show up and interfere with these sessions. For years. He knows that there's demons. And so we can talk a little bit more about that in a while. But the most disturbing thing of that session was, and it broke my heart for Claudia. The video shows that session. Right afterwards, he talks, and he said, "Thank God for imagination." People criticize imagination. This is all in your imagination. And he says, "Thank God for imagination."
Wow.
Yes, wow.
What verse is that, I guess, is my question.
Exactly. But the video, the next video you see is a year later. And here I am looking at it as an auditor. See her, see how healthy she's walking today. And she talks about that story in the same grief.
Wow.
Same story, same grief, same tears, same emotions about that painful memory.
So it's that hook that we talked about with Scientology.
It is the hook. It's that help, the help, pain. It's the Jesus Christ hook in that session. Let me tell you why that she's still feeling that pain. And this is for the public. This is for my dear public. That pain that she's still feeling was because Ed Smith missed the real pain. In that session, she was talking about when she was a little girl, that particular memory reminded her of another memory, which is what you're supposed to do. And this is what Ed's supposed to do also. You find that memory, and if that's not clearing up, if that's not in clearing up at the time, it's not healing, then you look for an earlier similar situation. In other words, another echo, until you find the first one, which he talks about, but he didn't do it. Mm. So the first one seemingly was when she was a young girl, a brother and a young sister, and they shared a bed, and the parents put them to bed, and then they went off dancing. I don't think that's unusual. I remember our parents doing that too, but they went off dancing, and in the middle of the night, her little sister got an asthma attack. She didn't know what to do. So she was panicking about what to do with her little sister. So that scenario was re-stimulated by this scenario when her little boy was dying. And then she panicked. All of a sudden, that re-stimulates the first one. She called the neighbor and the fire, who was a firefighter, so obviously an emergency technician, helped her. But that's what was being re-stimulated. Just go back to the original one, and you would think that she's in pain. She's still in pain a year later because of that incident where her son died. I would be thanking God, jumping up and down. Thank God he didn't die. God bless you, son. Holding him, cherishing him, as the other children too. I need to take better care of you. I need to watch you better. Thank God, I'm so glad. I'm so happy. Right. None of that. Same emotion. Same grief. A year later. So that tells me that for the public, it's very dangerous to start looking for lie-based pain, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to find stuff and re-stimulate people. You're going to re-stimulate people into coming back and not knowing why you're in re-stimulation and be hurting and not understanding why. Mm-hmm. Worse than you were before.
And in addition to all of this, true believers, remnant, people who are heavenly bound, who are residents of heaven and aliens to this earth, God tells us in his holy book that that the old has gone and the new has come. So for a Christian to look back to the days when they weren't saved and spend countless hours exhuming the corpse that used to be them, that's not even them anymore. That is bad. I mean, why would you want to go dig into that? We were face down in the muck and the mire before we came to know Jesus as our Lord. Why would you spend time looking at that filth? It's nowhere for a believer to even go to.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And in the last session, I talked about the passage where it talks about I'm a new creature in Christ. And that's exactly when I didn't realize that I was until I thought, how come I don't think about the past anymore? How come I don't think about engrams anymore? It's because I'm looking forward. I'm looking for forward to the day that we were walking with Jesus Christ and praising Him and worshiping Him face to face. That's what I'm looking forward to. There's nothing to look back at. Even if I look back today, and as I look back today, and I say, it doesn't affect me. It has no effect on me any longer. So, yes, you put it in a good way. You're resurrecting a dead,
exactly,
filthy, sinful existence that was before.
We should say hallelujah that it's even dead.
That's right. So you're exactly right about your perception of what this is all about. You're exactly right.
Maybe after the next bullet point.
My next bullet point is that we know that that the Bible tells us that in this world we will have troubles. As a matter of fact, we just went through that in church this morning. But fortunately, Jesus has overcome the world. And one of the next top 10 reasons that Theophostic Prayer Ministry is not for Christians is that living a pain-free life is not a calling for every believer. Because in this world, we will have troubles. It's promised. All of us that have been saved probably went through a heavy testing period right after we got saved, and it wasn't fun. And even the Apostle Paul had a thorn in his side that he prayed to have removed. Now, this is one of the dear ones of God. And he was a man of great faith. He saw Jesus on the road to Damascus and talked and walked with him. And if he didn't get healed from his pain, then I don't understand why Ed Smith seems to think that no believer is really a mature believer. If you're walking around in pain in Ed Smith's world, you're a babe in Christ, if a believer at all. You need to be healed through Theophostic Prayer Ministry to become a mature believer.
That's right. I concur completely. Again, I come from the side that shows you what is wrong with the processing. As an example, from the Theophostic Prayer Ministry Session Guidelines, it says item number 3, you should be given complete freedom to stop the process anytime you choose to do so.
You mentioned that last month.
That is so detrimental to you're wanting to be helped. This echo, the reason you're in pain, according to Theophostic Prayer Ministry, Scientology, the reason you're in pain or have an aberrant behavior, which is the pain, lie-based thinking, is something in the past. Well, if you get re-stimulated and you go visit a memory that happened 15, 20 years ago, and all of a sudden, I don't like that. I don't like thinking about that. And you get up and walk away, which is he has just allowed you to do so. You're out in the middle of a re-stimulation. You're out in the middle of feeling that pain. So you brought that pain forward, and you go out there, and for 2 weeks you're going to be either angry, painful, hurt, feeling the same emotions, hating people around you. Whatever experience is all going to be negative. So that is terribly, terribly dangerous. You should not walk out of that session until you come to present time. Mm-hmm. And again, it may sound like I am favoring Scientology over Theophostic Prayer Ministry. As I told you before, if somebody put a gun to my head, choose one, I would choose Scientology because it's technically, scientifically precise, laser guided. It's still not going to lead you to Jesus Christ. It's not going to lead you to your salvation. And this one is far more dangerous, Theophostic Prayer Ministry, because one, that, secondly, because they claim it's Jesus that shows up. It's that life raft. It's that life raft life saver that somebody's throwing at you, and you grab it. They call it Jesus, and you grab it.
That one really scares me, mm-hmm, because you said earlier that Ed Smith himself has admitted that he's been dealing with demons for years in his sessions, and the Bible teaches that Satan himself presents himself as an angel of light. Paul talks about other Jesuses. Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you hear, there is the Christ, here he is, don't go there. Mm-hmm. How do we know that this is the Jesus that Ed Smith says it is. I know I get a lot of criticism when I talk to Christians about that maybe not about theophostics, but in any kind of experience-based belief where you are dealing with words from God or prophecy or visitations from Christ, they are so quick to take this spirit at face value.
And what does the Bible say? What did Jesus himself say about seeking after signs and wonders? He says it is a wicked and a perverse generation that seeks after a sign. None will be given unto you except that of Jonah.
Amen.
That's correct. That's true. And there that, among many other things, are the points that I want to share, because I think that when people hear about the actual technology, the actual process, then they can start to make up their own minds about maybe that's not right. If you're talking to a Christian and you're talking scripture, you want to do that. Let the Holy Spirit do the work after the fact, that once you've planted the seeds. But if other people can be helped by expressing by sharing the technology or the process, then maybe they will steer away from it and still look for help, but hopefully they'll look for the kind of help that we're offering in the gospel. You mentioned that I did mention that about demons, and this is from page 137 of Ed Smith's Beyond Tolerable Recovery, where he says, I have spent hundreds of hours dealing with demonic spirits. In other words, each session opens a door for demons and even for Jesus Christ in the same session, the so-called Jesus. So he's admitting that. And he has taken it upon himself to say, this is Jesus, this is not. And when he says that this is Jesus, it's that lifesaver that he throws at the people. So when Jesus shows up, if this Jesus shows up, common sense will tell you that I can bring along a bunch of bad guys, good cop, bad cop, and say, see those guys? Those are the demons. Listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. And what this Jesus is doing is that exchanging one lie for another. So there's a lie in your past. I mentioned that, I think, in Scientology as an example, when I was talking about Scientology as an example. You're walking down an orchard, you're 3 or 4 years old, you're having a picnic, you're under an apple tree, an apple falls on your head, a big apple, whacks you on the head just so that you're out for a couple of seconds. Boom. So 30 years later, you're walking by an orchard, you walk by an apple stand, and say, oof, I hate apples. I hate apples.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an engram. That's the lie-based pain, because you hate apples, because they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
You go into a session, and you go back there, and Jesus tells you that in that session, I created apples. They're wonderful. Okay. You exchange one lie for another. The lie being that this is true, in fact, but it has nothing to do with his painful experience. So you exchange one lie, or it actually hid it from the actual pain. So now you have two lies, and this one is in the forefront because it's a lifesaver, and it's helping you to cope today. But someday, you're going to be re-stimulated, or that echo is going to show up again in another form.
Or, as you implied with Claudia on the Theophostics website, you're replacing that lie with another lie, and then you've got to go back even further to find the next lie, and the next lie, and the next lie, hoping that eventually you'll hit the one.
The basic one. I know it as the basic engram. Mm-hmm. So the basic lie, and he calls it a basic lie, or the primary lie, something to that effect. So okay. He knows that in a session, in a series, there is that initial one, and then another one, when you were at a picnic and you saw red, and you go, red, ugh. Because apples are red.
Right.
Or you saw a big tree. Ooh, because the apple came from a tree. So just on and on and on until you find the basic one. Something very difficult to do. But why bother? Why resuscitate that old man? As Rick says, don't do it. You know, there's no need to do it. You look forward to Jesus Christ and follow him.
To be heavenly minded.
Next bullet point.
Well, the next bullet point think of this scripture, James, through the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking on behalf of God, said, "Do you not know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God?" Yet, there was a Theophostic prayer minister, local, and not a lower order one either, a higher order one, is by the name of Tom Kasparek. He got into some vehement debate with myself and my minister partners, Rick Wagner and Martha Mack at SO4J, and he also got into a pretty vehement debate with Pastor Bob DeWay at Twin City Fellowship. And yet, when I did some research on Tom Kasparek, the Theophostic prayer minister, I found that he had a bulletin posted all over the globe through the World Wide Web soliciting any individuals with the gift of healing, whether they be shaman or any sort of pagan religion, individuals that just had the gift of healing. He was offering to train them up in Theophostic prayer ministry. And us as believers are not supposed to be unequally yoked to non-believers.
What fellowship can light have with darkness?
Exactly. Amen.
Sam, do you have any comment?
Yes. He's looking for other healers, other healing types to come in, you know, train them. Shaman, Christian, like in Scientology, you can be a Christian Scientologist, Buddhist Scientologist. So now that's what he's opening up the door for. A shaman or maybe a Wiccan is willing to do Theophostic prayer ministry, although they probably wouldn't. But that kind of the situation. But I think that one of the other problems that arises in the facilitators is that the facilitator can just learn basically from the books, from the DVDs, from the training sessions, and so on, and go right into doing sessions. That is extreme. I think that it's extremely harmful. And the facilitator is told to tell him, says, "Look, this is my first session. I'm going to try and help you, but just know that this is my first time. Would you go to a doctor that said, well, this is my first time that I'm going to take tonsils out or I'm going to do heart surgery? Would you go to that doctor? Of course not. You want him to learn under different circumstances, under on-the-job training, as an example. So you want these people to be trained. So there's a danger in who's doing these sessions, the Theophostic, from the very, very basic first day on the job to people that have done it for a long time. Ed Smith, I believe he was a psychologist as well, and he had a practice as well as being a minister. So he had some training in that. So when he got into it, he was probably going to do a far better job in and of itself in Theophostic ministry than a basic trainee would do.
Next bullet point.
The scriptures read that by his wounds we are healed. And on top of that, once we are brought from a condition, which is actually a miracle, of being in the darkness to going into the light, when repentance is granted unto us, when we become those that enter through the narrow gate and that are on the narrow path, we are all co-equal under Christ. We don't all look the same because an ear doesn't look like an elbow and an elbow doesn't look like a toe. But we are all co-equal under Christ. And we are healed to the extent that, you know, we're going to be dancing on streets of gold in heaven someday. And someday soon, I might add. And what Theophostic prayer ministry teaches is that we are not completely healed the way that God wants us to be healed until we have gone through Theophostic prayer ministry. And so what this is actually doing is, my bullet point is that it minimizes the grace of God. God's grace is enough for us, but this is minimizing God's grace by saying, no, you need grace plus Theophostic prayer ministry to become a better Christian.
Well, that's interesting. That brings up an obvious question. What happened to Christians before Ed Smith came along?
It's a great question.
Pastor Bob asked that question, or it's implied that, you know, up until 2,000 years, up until 2,000 years ago, you know, everybody apparently was doomed. to live in painful in pain, which is true, but now we're going to be healed. Yeah, what happened to those other people for the past 2,000 years?
Yeah, maybe God didn't love them as much.
Well, I thought I'd heard. It hasn't been said yet. I don't know a lot about theophostics myself. That's why I brought two experts in to talk about it. But Sam's cringing. I thought I heard it said somewhere that Ed Smith will claim that this has always been in the Bible. It's always been a Christian method for healing.
Yes, he does. He says that. Now, I got that directly from a gentleman that actually does theophostic prayer ministry. I sat down with him and discussed this, and he's convinced that it's in the Bible, and he can quote scripture, you know, all day long about healing and prophesying about this and so on. I didn't take notes because I was focusing on telling him how much I thought this was like Scientology. But I'll tell you what, I said that three times in that 45-minute session, that meeting that we had, and every time that I said that, his face would get flushed, and he just red, beet red, and angry looking at me the three times that I said, this is like Scientology. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just became almost infuriated, didn't act on his fury, but it was a strange reaction to get from him. But yes, he does say that it is in the Bible, and you know, Jesus Christ has been waiting for this or doing this ever since.
It just sounds to me like Joseph Smith saying something happened where the truth was hidden, mm-hmm. and it took some special revelation from God to bring it to light in recent history. So what happened?
We don't know. I think they figured out, they were, like I said about L. Ron Hubbard, he was very astute. And he could look at all the religions and then pick and choose and call one, put it all together and call it his own. And it seems like Ed Smith is also very astute. I have to think, I can't prove this, but I have to think that he must have looked at Scientology or Dianetics, because it is it's like a twin brother, mm-hmm. Or a twin sister. They just look different because they're a male and a female, but they're twins from what I've read, what I've seen, and what I've experienced. Let me get back to a point that Rick said about, that brought this to mind about who we are in Jesus. This is a quote from Healing Life's Hurts by Edward Smith. I used to teach that we were in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. I now realize we are not becoming like him. We are already like him and can know this reality as we come to know the truth. So the first half is absolutely correct, that we're in the process of becoming more and more like Jesus. We want to walk the path of sanctification, and we won't ever get there until we come to the other side, mm-hmm. to come to be with him. And then he'll show us the entire picture. But we already like him as according to Smith. Mm. And, you know, that's modernist, postmodernist. We're little gods.
Right.
It just all of
word
it.
Of faith.
All of it. That's word of faith. Yeah, we're already little gods.
Well, are we ready for the next bullet point?
Absolutely. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of 1 Corinthians that all believers have the mind of Christ. And Theophostic prayer ministry teaches that every man is in need of mind renewal. So if I'm a believer, if I am a remnant Christian, a sold-out-for-Jesus Christian, if you will, that is on their way to heaven, why would I want to renew my mind if I have the mind of Christ? What could be better than that?
Yeah, you're going to find all those. You're going to find contradictions in this, as well as L. Ron Hubbard. And I think the reason we find contradictions, because nobody can write as perfectly as the inspired of Word of
Amen.
God was written.
Amen.
Nobody can write that perfect. You're going to catch yourself. You're going to trip up. You're going to contradict yourself, as you just indicated, mm-hmm. as you've shown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Next bullet point is based on the scripture, whomsoever the Son sets free shall be free indeed. But according to Ed Smith's Theophostic prayer ministry, that all are trapped in their own emotional bondage. Well, that doesn't sound like the sun setting you free. If you're a Christian, mm-hmm. you shouldn't be trapped in your emotional bondage if the sun has set you free.
That's correct. And I think the Ed Smith thinking on that is that his belief is that the sin nature is eradicated when you were born again. Eradicated. Mm-hmm. You're no longer a sinner. Now, that doesn't make sense to us. We're sinners by nature, and we sin less, and we will be convicted more when we do sin, because now we know the offense it is to God. So he says that sin is eradicated. What Ed's talking about and trying to heal us of is all these wounds, all this lie-based thinking that we have. And lie-based thinking oftentimes makes us sin. So we're not sinning by choice. It's somebody else's fault. Essentially what Dianetics teaches. We're born perfect, but somebody else did something to us that makes us do the things that we do today that are negative, that are aberrant behaviors, and so on. So that's what he's saying there about we're set free. He does believe that we're set free because he says that sin is eradicated. So he understands the grace of God and the being washed by the blood of Jesus. He understands that. But he just takes it to a level. He takes it to another level and makes it his own. Makes it his own and says, let's not call it sin anymore. Let's call it lie-based thinking. And there's a separation between the two.
The next bullet point is that there, under Theophostic prayer ministry, you actually have an act of man that is required in order to allow God to set you free. So we just talked about whomsoever the Son sets free. In order for you to become justified, you need God to replace your hardened heart with a heart of flesh so that you can be brought into the kingdom, okay? And what this is saying is that, you know, you need a facilitator to basically tell God, oh, it's okay now, you can do this for me. Well, we can't tell God what to do. He's sovereign over all.
No argument there. you mentioned bondage. And I'll read to you again directly from Ed Smith's book, Beyond Tolerable Recovery, on page 151. He says, if you have a Jesus proclaiming healing such as saying you are completely whole or it is finished, in other words, if you have a Jesus, in other words, some Jesus that's not real. So he even knows that sometimes Jesus isn't real, okay? So, such as you are completely whole or it is finished. Uh-huh. Okay. Beware. This is still quoting Ed Smith. Beware. Mind renewal is not over unless the person dies in your session or the Lord returns. Mm. Otherwise, we're in a lifelong journey of mind renewal. And that's an everlasting dinner bell. Dinner bell of health. Ring that dinner bell and call it help. Ring that dinner bell and call it food. Ring that dinner bell and call it money, and people will come running to you. This is Ed Smith's dinner bell, that you're going to be on a lifelong journey of mind renewal.
Dinner bell is a phrase that was coined by Gloria Copeland. Yesterday, the day before we recorded this, Sam and I were attending a conference by Justin Peters on the Word of Faith movement, and she said health is the dinner bell, and he explained that there's a lot of money to be had in convincing people that you can bring them health. And for more of that, join us next month when Justin Peters will be our guest. Mm. Going to interview him tomorrow, the day after I record this episode.
Well, the one thing we know from Scripture about false teachers and false prophets is that they are motivated by one of two things, either money or sexual immorality. And so if you look back through cult leaders throughout history, you see Joseph Smith, desiring to have young women as wives and multiple ones at that, and even Muhammad. And this is the motivation of people that create such things and say to have these revelations from God. Oftentimes, that's their motives, mm-hmm. and that's what Scripture tells us, too.
How many bullet points do we have left?
Two more bullet points.
Two more? Should we go on to the next one?
The next bullet point is derived from an actual brochure that was handed out at the Crystal Evangelical Free Church Ed Smith Conference, which is now called New Hope Church. And that Ed Smith basically says that, you know, any Christian that does not approve of theophostics, well, they will as soon as they learn about it. And that when they come unto repentance, then they'll accept it. So in other words, he's kind of redefined repentance as not turning away from your sin, but changing your attitude towards theophostic prayer ministry.
Very convenient.
My next bullet point is that theophostic prayer ministry teaches that once you have completed the process, then you're whole and you will have a maintenance-free Christian walk. So that would lead one to believe that they can just do whatever they want and they'll never feel any pain again and everything is just going to be fantastic. But any remnant true believer will tell you that without fellowship, prayer, and regular study of God's holy word, that their walk starts to go wayward. You start to deviate to the left and to the right of the narrow path. And when you run into one of those big correction rods on either side of the road, it's not fun. And it's so in a sense, you do have a maintenance-free walk, in that either, you know, God will maintain it for you, or you can try to grow in the image of His Son Jesus and grow in your sanctification. But there is no such thing as a maintenance-free Christian walk, which is what they preach that you will have once you're done with theophostic prayer ministry.
I relate what theophostics would like to do in heal everybody. He says that you probably won't be healed unless you die or until Jesus comes. So he would like, even though he would like to heal everybody and heal everybody to the extent that they can, I relate that to the kingdom now theologies. They want the kingdom now. They want to prepare the kingdom for his coming. And they want, and in theophostic prayer, healing all these pains, they want to heal you and perfect you as much as they can now, which is not going to happen. You know, we're going to suffer, we're going to be persecuted, and we brought that on ourselves by becoming Christians, by accepting the Lord and knowing that we're going to be criticized and attacked and so on. So we can't perfect ourselves now, and neither can the kingdom be perfected now. Only God can do that. Only God can perfect us if he chooses to do so in this life, but there's nobody's perfect. We're only going to be perfected in his realm, in his kingdom, when we come to the Lord. Bad hermeneutic. There's a lot of bad hermeneutics in Ed Smith's books. Again, this is directly from either their website or the Biblical Evaluation of a Theophostic Ministry. This is by the Theophostic people, staff. This is quoting from them. Sometimes people ask, then why does this work? It does work sometimes. There's no question that Scientology works sometimes. It worked for me in many cases until I got out and said, I don't need this to work for me anymore. Some of that junk does work. Here, bad hermeneutics is quoting, and this is almost laughable because he criticizes the stories in the Bible, the parables, and the incidents that talk about Jesus and what he did. Here's one example. The woman who touched Jesus' robe in Mark 5:25-34 did not do it right. Huh? You know, he already starts off, did not do it right. When she approached Jesus, her faith was misguided. She attempted to receive healing not by a personal encounter with the Savior, but by stealing a touch of his garment, as if it were magic. Her faith was also selfish. Suffering a discharge of blood, she knew that touching anyone else would render that person ceremonially unclean, and her plan was to slip off unnoticed without a word of thanks, yet Jesus graciously healed her. That's his hermeneutic on that passage. Now, she had enough faith to know that all she had to do was to touch the garment of the Messiah, of the Christ, she would be healed. That's what her faith told her. And her faith led her to it, and it did. But she did it wrong, according to Ed Smith.
Wow.
So that's some bad hermeneutic there. And this is quoting from his book. This isn't something I heard and am repeating. This is something that he stated. He also criticizes Peter. He also criticizes Paul. He criticizes him for having done the wrong things and having the bad motivations. And again, it's all based on all these people had lie-based thinking.
Wow.
So he's very critical in that regard.
Yes, and circling back on this lie-based thinking principle, there are not just Scientology, but there are other similar things that have developed over the course of time in dealing with past memories, okay? And one of them is in the area of psychology and psychiatry, where they deal with false memory syndrome and first memory events. And this was big. This was big in the 70s and the 80s, I believe. And actually, even the worldly psychologists and psychiatrists have abandoned this as inappropriate, as not helpful in their counseling. And so, you know, if you were of the world, you would look in from the outside into the Christian churches and say, well, why would Christians grab a hold of this outdated psychological theory, sprinkle a little bit of the quote-unquote spirit of Christ on top of it, and then reintroduce it in the churches when it's already been disproven in the world? Now, another instance of messing with old memories is satanic ritual abuse. And satanic ritual abuse was going on heavily in the 1980s, and police all over this country were getting telephone calls about women who killed their babies, or uncles that had killed their babies, or, you know, grandparents, relatives, neighbors. And so the police were going out investigating, and they were arresting people all over this land for suspected murder and such, right? And what they came to find was they never found any bodies, and they never found any evidence of any of this murder going on, and that the people that were allegedly murdered never even existed in the first place, and it was all because of Satanists going back and implanting memories into people's heads. It's called satanic ritual abuse.
You don't have to be a Satanist to do that. When I was being audited in Scientology, they didn't implant those memories. They didn't implant them, but in my past lives, I'm laughing because there's no such thing. In my past life, I was once killed by a bear. How long ago was this? The auditor asked me, how long ago was this? Because you have to be specific about timing and where you are and so on. It was a long time ago, I said. I had no clue. Another incident about these implanted memories that I used to be able to tell you that they were true. But now I said, they weren't true. That was just a figment of my imagination. I was killed once. I was thrown in this wine barrel and wine casket, rolled up the hill, thrown off a cliff. And I saw myself fall and die. So yes, there's all these figments of your imagination. Thank God for imagination, says Ed Smith.
Yeah, and my ministry partner, in having the debates with the Theophostic minister, brought up that exact, my ministry partner, Rick Wagner, he says, hey, any of us that are beyond 30 years old know what our memories are like. So if we're going through a counseling session, whether it be Scientology, Theophostics, or you know, in the chair of a psychiatrist, and we're talking about all these memories of ours, how do we know that we're remembering anything properly at all? You know, I've been caught many times thinking back, you know, well, 10 years ago this happened or that happened, and I mean, I would argue tooth and nail that it actually happened, and then I'll read in an old newspaper article or something that it was something that I was completely wrong. So how are you going to base things on these memories from 20 years ago?
You almost can't. Another interesting factor or quote from Ed Smith, he says, there's no such thing as an irrational fear. And, you know, we sit here and frown. What do you mean there's no such thing as an irrational fear? You can be afraid of apples, as an example. A young lady came to me and I audited her, and the night before she had seen, she was listening to the television while she was doing dishes, but she could hear the sounds, and she heard these these people, these under deep sea divers, she could hear the bubbles emanating from the deep sea divers' air bubbles, sent her into an irrational fear. That was irrational for her to fear that. Anybody sitting there and says, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of those bubbles? Why are you afraid of that sound? There is an irrational fear, but he says there is no such thing. Turns out that that irrational fear was an incident where she was sitting on the edge of the seashore. A wave came over, tumbled her over, and then when the wave ebbed, you could hear all the bubbles that it generates. It hear the bubbles, and she could hear that, and she thought she was drowning. Well, she thought she was drowning, but to make that a complete picture of what actually happened, she says, well, I wouldn't have drowned. My mother was right there. So she saw the whole picture, alleviated that problem, so she was no longer going to have that irrational fear. There is such a thing as irrational fear. And, you know, I'm refuting what he says about no such thing as an irrational fear.
Well, one thing I want to talk about before we close is I like to anticipate criticism from those who are supporting some of the things that we're trying to warn about. And you talked a little bit about the fact that you'll admit that Scientology works, you'll admit that Theophostic works. We're not refuting that these things might work. We also, this whole show has been about the similarities between Theophostics and Scientology. And so I can imagine where someone who is a proponent of Theophostics might say that, well, because it's similar to Scientology doesn't necessarily negate Theophostics. Maybe that's just that Scientology has some good in it. So can we address a little bit about maybe we can – you've brought up a lot of scripture already, Rick. Why is it that we are so opposed to Theophostics?
Well, I'll reiterate what Pastor Bob DeWay said in that we're not here to argue results, okay? What we're here is to argue that Theophostic prayer ministry is unbiblical based on all the things that we just said. So if you have any people that are into Theophostic prayer ministry that will be listening to this program, you will certainly get calls saying, well, you know, but, you know, I personally have healed 5,000 homosexuals of their homosexuality and they got married to women and they've lived a perfectly happy life for the last 10 years. You know, but we're not here to argue results. We're here to argue, is it biblical? Is this how the Bible says, you know, does the Bible say go and sin no more? I mean, maybe if you're struggling with all of these sins, maybe you never repented in the first place and you're still on the broad road. So the call goes out today to understand that you've offended a holy God and that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And that only Jesus' blood can wash all this away, and that no program can do that. And that, you know, if you think that you're in pain now, just wait until later. You're living a pain-free life now compared to entering into a Christless eternity.
Yes, and also one of the contentions that I have come to be able to define is that Theophostic is all experiential. Ed Smith says that you cannot have faith in God, you cannot believe in God, you cannot believe in Jesus Christ, in the Holy Spirit, or anything. You cannot believe in the cross unless you have some kind of an experiential situation where you experience it. You experience God's love. You experience Jesus talking to you. Well, I never experienced some of these things that he claims that you should experience. But I do know that I love Jesus Christ and I've repented of my sins and I'm a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And he died for me on the cross.
Amen.
And the gratefulness that I felt when I recognized that dropped me to my knees for half a day. That was the extent of my experience. After that, I needed no other experience to recognize that he's my Savior, that Jesus Christ, God exists, the Holy Trinity exists, all the scriptures are true and valid for everything that we do in our lives as we walk down that narrow path. So it's all about this argument that it has to be experiential. Well, there's some people that need experience, but that experience is going to lead you somewhere, but it's not necessarily going to lead you down the path of salvation.
Sure. Well, I don't have any more questions for you guys other than possibly some closing comments, if you've got some.
I don't have anything for you, Andy.
I do. And it's a heartfelt closing for all of these people that are being hurt by Theophostic Prayer Ministry or anything out there that's out there under the guise of Christianity. I'll read my closing statement because I wanted to prepare it and make sure I got it right. And somebody said, well, you read it. Yeah, but I prepared it from my heart. If I cannot convince you of how dangerous Theophostic Prayer Ministry or Scientology are to your soul, if I cannot convince you, my sincerest desire is then to plant some seeds of doubt in your mind so that you become like the Bereans in Acts 17:11. Now these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Because Ed Smith considers his Theophostic Prayer Ministry biblically sound, then all the more reason to search the scriptures. In there you will find the true Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on a torturous cross, was resurrected as he proclaimed it to his apostles, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father, ever interceding for us who have believed the gospel and repented of our sins.
Very, very well said, Sam.
Amen.
I just would like to mention, not only on this episode, but on all the episodes that I do when we talk about different teachings that we have doctrinal problems with, that we don't do it out of a sense of spite or distaste. I think you could hear it in Sam's voice. He cares about people being led astray. Mm-hmm. And we do this because we love our fellow human beings, and we are seeking people to enter the kingdom of heaven. We want as many people to come with us as possible.
We expect or anticipate criticism, and one of the criticisms is going to be, as Ed Smith writes in his book, that there's one fellow that criticized him heavily and writes about him and just continually criticizes him. Well, Ed Smith accuses him of having tapped into some painful hurt that he has or a lie-based memory. So that's what we're going to be accused of, having lie-based memories. We don't want to resurrect that man. We don't want to go there. We are new creatures in Christ, and we're looking forward to Christ.
Very much. Rick?
Yes, and that dovetails into a comment that during our debates with the Theophostic Prayer Minister, Tom Kasparek, that Rick Wagner, my ministry partner, and myself, he said to us that we are not mature in our faith and that we are propagating the same lies that the Satanists have propagated over the last 10 years and that we are in dire need of repentance. And when we finally come to realize that he is right, then he is going to be there for me to give me the healing that I so desperately need.
Wow. Wow. So you are out there preaching sin, hell, repentance, faith, Christ, the resurrection, and you are a Satanist.
And I'm hurting.
Wow. Well, once again, I just want to say thanks, Sam, and thanks, Rick, and I very much appreciate it, and Sam has walked away. but I thank him very much for not one, but two wonderful episodes, and same to you, Rick, for
you.
This one. I could have let you guys do this yourself.
We needed you, buddy.
Didn't mean me. For more on Theophostic Prayer Ministry, check the blog post at echozoe.com that contains this episode. I'll be adding links as they come to me. That's all for episode 6. Join me next month when my guest will be Justin Peters. Justin and I will be discussing the Word of Faith movement. It's also known as the Prosperity Gospel or the Health and Wealth Gospel. Many also refer to it as Name It and Claim It. There's a lot more to this movement than most people know. That episode has already been recorded and will be posted on Saturday, November 1st. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again in November.